and worship him with fear, so we have sung. And also Jehovah's kindly face, that is now that spiritual image of him, congregation. Are there now those who desire that worship? Are there those who have sung it perhaps from the truth, oh, I hope from the truth of your hearts? What is then the first part that we talked about, what God forbids? And in itself there is no life in it, congregation, no. Because that is sin and that is death. But now that second part, and we could touch upon it already in the first part. That is what God commands. And what is that now, congregation? To serve the Lord acceptably, with godly fear, with humble reverence. That is worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. The instructor comes to it. How? By way of question 98. But may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the laity? In that question, you find the excuse of the Roman Catholic Church to have images in the church, the laity. That is the people that are not the clergy. They are so ignorant by and large. And so they do not know, and they need pictures in order to make certain things plain. That is, it is a book to the laity. But it is an image. And it is contrary to that second commandment. And so the Lord does not approve of it. The Lord says, I abhor it. And so what is the answer of the instructor? No, for we must not present to be wiser than God. That is a sharp answer. But it is a clear answer. It is a necessary answer, congregation. When Moses had made the brazen serpent, he did so upon God's commandment. Because that had to be lifted up on a pole in the midst of that plain. And that brazen serpent pointed to Christ. In John 3 you read it. But in the days of King Hezekiah, what had the people begun to do with that brazen serpent? They had begun to worship it. And so Hezekiah said, Nehushtan, it is a piece of brass. And he destroyed it and he ground it to the dust. And see, that is now so necessary that whatever image, whatever sin there is, that it should be broken down, that it should be destroyed, congregation. No images as books of the laity. What instead? Here. The lively preaching of his words. That is now what the Lord has given us. And their congregation lies now the opening in this evening. For what does the apostle say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then it is thus saith the Lord, not thus saith the minister, not thus saith someone else, no, thus saith the Lord. And Christ commanded his disciples, preach the gospel. He did not say make images, no. Be instant in season and be instant out of season. Oh, he says, be ye fishers of men. And then you cast out that gospel net. And then the Lord himself will cause fish to come into that gospel net. And then sinners are converted unto the Lord. That is now that lively preaching, says the catechism. That is a gift of the ascended mediator, Ephesians. Because he has received gifts for men, even for the rebellious also. Any here? And what is now that gift? Then he has given some apostles, and some evangelists, and some that are prophets, and some that are pastors, shepherds, and teachers. And the first three, they are no longer there with us. But the Lord has left it with that fourth office of preaching, that of the pastors and teachers, of the shepherds and of the ministers. And then it is for this purpose, says the apostle, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So always two purposes, that sinners may be quickened from life to death, but then in the preaching also God's servants have to instruct, have to lead, have to guide, have to nourish, have to correct the living church of God. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's and double for all her sin. The apostle says that God is pleased by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Many years ago, Reverend Spence asked in Norwich once, are there still fools here in Norwich? And he meant to say, are there any fools that would go out to preach? Oh, congregation, if we are foolish in ourselves, then we need it from the Lord. But you know who considered those servants to be foolish? The world and the religion. They do not understand it. They do not want that in the least. Oh, you can understand it. What did Ezekiel have to do? Go and prophesy in that valley of very dry bones. Can they live? Thou knowest, Lord. Oh, that is our servant, should be. Thou knowest, Lord. Receiving the message and preaching what the Lord gives. And then he preached, and then the Spirit came in the wheels. And then the bones came to bones, and the Spirit came in. And then an exceeding great army stood up. You see, that is now that preaching of that crucified Christ. The world says that is an offense. And the religion says that is altogether a foolishness. But there is a people for whom that is now food and drink. For whom that is now the nourishment. That declares their idols. That tells them how they have to be saved. Because in themselves they can never be saved whatsoever. What is then so necessary? Oh, they need not the words, but they need the power. The words can be all true. The doctrine can be all right, and not to despise that. But there is no life in it, except the Spirit comes along with it and accompany it. Oh, and then it is life and it is Spirit. Then it is food and it is drink. Then it is for the nourishment of God's people. Then they go out spiritually speaking and gather that hidden manna and they may eat it. And they shall be satisfied. You know what the Lord says, Isaiah 61. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall not hold their peace day or night. And ye that make mention of the Lord, to be not silent. Oh, congregation, how must it then be? How? It is here, by the lively preaching of that word. Then it is here the word of the Lord. Hear what the Lord has to say unto us by way of his Spirit. Then it is the Lord speaketh, O Israel, the Lord's people. The Lord's servants are his mouth. Then they may take that gospel trumpet and they may blow upon it and shall give no uncertain sound. Oh, and they preach, congregation, they are like a householder. And out of their storehouses they bring forth new things and old. Then they are stewards of the manifold grace of God. Then they have to rightly divide the word of truth. That means with the sacrifices make it right in order. But also as a father in the midst of a family, what does he do? He takes the bread and he cuts the pieces and everyone in the family receives exactly what is necessary. Oh, when the Lord comes along in the preaching congregation, then he does that all. Then the minister is given the matter to preach, and it is laid out in the congregation. And here is one that receives a crumb, and there is one that receives a morsel, and there is one that receives provision for the way, and there is one that receives rest and a refreshing drink of that water of life. Oh, congregation, then it is that lively preaching of the word of God. And it is that word of God that is then sharper than any two-edged sword, yes. And it cuts to the, and it divides asunder even the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner and the thoughts of the heart. Have you now ever been in God's house and that word came within and you say, there I am. Guilty. Guilty. And the Lord knows exactly, and then you lie there open and naked before him. But it can also happen by that same word and spirit, that you then say, Lord, thou knowest how it is within. As Peter said, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, then not only sin becomes manifest, but the grace of God that he has wrought in the heart is also evident. And then the Lord is so glad with his church. Then he says, this is now my bride, this is now my spouse, this is my Shulamite. Then that church is black in itself because the tents of Kedar. But the greater Solomon says, now she is also comely as the tents, as the curtains of Solomon. Oh, then it is the Lord that gives that unction, that fresh oil of the Spirit. And then it is that word of prophecy that has power divine. Oh, congregation, then the Lord will come along with it. And then it is not difficult to bring forth that word of truth. And there is a people that can draw and that can ask and that can say, Lord, wilt thou do it yet for thy name's sake? What did Peter say? That we must take heed unto that more sure word of prophecy, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. And the day star arise in your hearts. Oh, then a dark soul here sits here and says, Lord, may that day star arise. May that light arise. And when the Lord comes, then it is in sight. And then he gives light within. And if that light begins to shine even more, oh, then the day star comes to arise. And that is that Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Then that Christ is the root and offspring of David, and he is the bright and he is the morning star. Oh, then the Spirit truly accompanies the word. Then the Spirit applies that word. Then the Spirit brings that word right inside. And then it is as Psalm 45 tells us, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, and there they fall under the Lord. And what a blessed falling that is. Then I am no longer on that high horse. Then I am no longer on my high throne. But then to be humbled under and before God and to beg. Oh, congregation, then that word begins to shine. And that word is so precious. And that word is so delightful. Oh, then God's glorious perfections are known in the heart. Then I come to know myself as a vile, undone, and unworthy sinner. But in that way also room shall be made for him who is the only Redeemer. For I cannot answer that righteousness of God, but he has answered fully. He has paid the full price. He has shed his blood. He gave the ransom for all his people. Oh, the emptiness that is in self, the nakedness and the need, that is all learned more and more. But what a wonder it is then, Lord. It is then for that people that in him that is in Christ Jesus is a fullness of grace for grace. An inexhaustible fountain of all good things. Oh, then he has grace in abundance for the greatest of the sinners. Then by that word and that preaching, it is Jesus that comes in his deep humiliation and in his glorious exaltation. Oh, we have to leave all that, but there is such a fullness that he is now prophet, that he is priest, and that he is now that king. That is now that lively preaching. And congregation, when the sermons are read, those sermons also were lively preached at one time. So when the Spirit comes along, then you know by experience, do you not, people of God, that also those reading services are then that lively preaching. Because the Lord comes along and gives that indispensable blessing. And then the Lord gives that fresh oil from time to time. And you know what is now such a wonder? Just like with that widow and Elisha. Then there was a time that the oil stayed, because all the vessels were full. But you know what? It does not say in the Bible that the oil was gone. No. There is still more oil in that vessel. And whenever there is now an emptiness in the minister, when there is an emptiness in God's people, an emptiness in the congregation, then that oil will begin to flow by renewal. Oh, young and old, we are so privileged that we have that unadulterated word of God. That pure word of God, that infallible word of God. And that word of God we may also have in our home. And we may have in our school. The schools are beginning. Oh, teachers and students, that now that word may be ever your guide. That you may pray time and again, that in all simplicity the Lord would use that and teach that congregation. But I have to warn you, I have to warn you also, because God's word is so honest. There was a Gallio who cared for none of these things. There was a Herod who heard John the Baptist gladly, and yet he beheaded him. There was an Agrippa who almost became a Christian and never altogether. There was a Festus who said to the preacher Paul, "Thou much learning doth make thee mad." And there was a Felix, and he said, "Wait for a more convenient time," and that never came. There was a Demas, and he loved this present evil world, and he departed from the Apostle Paul. And they all had heard that lively preaching. Oh, if much is entrusted unto us, and indeed it is, then much shall be required of us, dear congregation. Bow thou your knees even tonight, and say, "Lord, wilt thou come over in my heart, and be pleased yet to apply that word unto my own truth, own heart." Beg then for that blessing. Be like the Bereans. What did they do? They went home. And they search the scriptures whether these things were so. Seek to carry out your soul as a prey. The times are evil. The days will be short. And the king's business requires haste. Oh, is there then a people? We have to close. Is there then a people here whose heart is taken in with that lively preaching from time to time? Oh, then you see that white horse riding. And in that sitteth upon that horse, that is Christ, that is the Word. And he goes forth conquering and to conquer. And there is none that stays him, none that can hinder him. And then he will convert people. Oh, that is not that lively preaching where God is exalted to the highest. And man is abased to the lowest. But there also there is that true comfort that is truly given. And then there comes a holy desire to walk tenderly before the Lord. And what does that leave the church with at the end? Poor and needy, naked, yes. But the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor shall the expectation of the poor perish forever. Church of God, we do not enter heaven as a rich Christian, but as an empty-handed beggar. As one who is carried like a Mephibosheth unto the king and there, to be at his table forever and forever. Oh, the Lord remembers the poor and shall give them their bread. Beg then the Lord that here below that preaching shall come to an end. You know what it shall then be, Church of God. Oh, then we do not have preaching anymore. But then we have praising the Lord forever and forever. And then we exalt his blessed name. And the crown we shall cast before him. Because he must be honored Lord of all. King of kings. And then we shall enter into that marriage feast of the lambs. And we shall begin to be merry. And then we shall worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen.